Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome into an emergency edition of Nebraska Basketball Podcast. What do we call it? The Husker 24/7 Hoops Cast. What a terrible start, Brian. I can't even get the name of the podcast correct here as we get fired up on a Friday morning. You sent me a text last night. I think you were probably still at the arena. Yep. I was at one of the local establishments outside of the arena, I'm sure. And hey, do we want a pod tomorrow morning? And I was like, absolutely. And, you know, I woke up this morning and I still feel the same way. So we're
okay. Oh, that's good.
I wore this hat to bed, so that's why I'm wearing it now for the podcast. So here we are. This is Nebraska's second win over a top 10 team at home this season. A critical, absolutely had to have it clutch win. That game felt like there was about 15 different ways that it, you know, the story could have went. And it ends with Nebraska just kind of, you know, for the second time, a team just backing off in the final seconds of a game. Like, we got nothing to play for here.
Yeah. There's several great storylines to it. The first, though, the lead sentence is CJ Wilcher. Yeah. I mean, when he pulled up on the transition of the pass from Bryce Williams, I don't know how far he was out. Was he 30 feet out? He wasn't that far out. He was out. He was deep, though. It was a deep three. And when he let that thing go, and it just, like, was so pure out of his hand, and that turned it to 50-43. And right then, you kind of had this feeling, at least I did, as, like, Nebraska's going to get this thing. Like, there was just too much, like, in the building. And then Wisconsin was not just competing against the five on the floor then. It was, like, this just intensity within PBA that has matched. I mean, there's been some amazing games at PBA actually that I've been at. Like, there, when basketball is in a game like that, when the basketball team is playing against a team of that level and playing well, and it's down to the wire, that place, I would put it up against almost anywhere in the country. I would, and I don't care if somebody in some other basketball heavy part of the country scoffs at that. If they were in the gym last night, they would understand what I'm talking about. If they had been in the gym for no sit Sunday, they would understand exactly what it is and say, yeah, this has been, like, unmatched. We had, you know, one of our cohorts who works with the Wisconsin site said it was the most incredible thing he's been at. So it was one of those kind of, like, honestly, top 10 sports events I've been at, just as far as the environment goes.
Yeah. And it, you know, it felt that way when I got down. I wanted to get out of the house earlier. You know how this always goes. You want to get somewhere earlier and then unforeseen things happen, or you're slow. Like, I'm not always the best at, like, getting the stuff done that I need to before I want to leave the house. So I didn't get down there until 6:30, and it was absolutely packed everywhere. I went to three different places, hit up, you know, three different groups of friends, and each of these spots was just packed. And it was full of, like, I don't know how to say this exactly, but look, it was full of young people in a way that is sort of unique. I mean, there was a lot of students last night. I don't know if you noticed this, Brian. It's certainly more prevalent in, like, the section that I sit in, because it's right next to the student section behind the hoop. There was so many students for this game that they didn't have enough seats in the student section. So they were spilling over into other sections trying to sit there, and then people would show up and have to kick them out. And then they were having to stand up top. And I don't know that I've ever seen that many students at a Nebraska basketball game. Like, that was part of the energy last night, is they were loud and they brought it, like, the entire game. Even when Nebraska started off pretty terrible, you could just sense they were looking for any reason to just get into the game. And you could feel it before the game even started with the crowds of people at these, you know, places right by the arena. And I don't know if it was the nice weather we had yesterday. I don't know. Like, people were ready to be at that basketball game, and they were ready to get into it. It was unique even before the tip. And you know, it's nowhere near on the level of what it felt like before No Sit Sunday, because that's just, like, a special thing. And that was another Wisconsin game, another day with unbelievably gorgeous weather. And just, like, you could sense before the game people were ready for it. It felt like there was a lot more at stake maybe for that one. But, man, something about the combination of a nice weather day, Wisconsin coming to town, people just can't wait to go and boo the Badgers. They love it.
Boo the Badgers and officials. They like some booing of officials too. Yeah, it was I felt the same way about the crowd. Like, early in the game, I was like, man, this crowd would be awesome if Nebraska gave them a chance to be. And the score was 27-8, 10 minutes into the game. It was 27-8. It wasn't quite, like, to the level we always joke about, the Kansas-Nebraska Big Monday game, where I think it was like 45-8 or something. But we were nearing that territory where you're thinking, like, oh, this is one of those games where people are kind of heading out with, like, 12 minutes left, and you, like, really can't blame them. That's how it, like, started. And what was more, like, frustrating about it, and Hoiberg spoke on this in the post game, Nebraska was actually getting good looks, like, throughout the first half, like, from deep, and no one could knock it down. Then, you know, you'd have a swirl out or whatever. Casey was unusually cold on some wide open shots and only ended up with 2 points. And it just, like, felt like one of those nights. And then it works into the second half, and it's kind of the same thing. Like, Casey had a shot that swirled out, and I think it was when it was 47-29. And it was at that point where it's, like, teetering between, like, especially in my spot, I'm, like, starting to put my head down and write the game story about Nebraska getting blown out. Yep. And then there was that little sequence. Wilcher hit a three. Wisconsin came up empty and went on next trip. And they moved the ball well, and Bryce Williams hit that corner three, and it got down to 47-35 in, like, a span of, like, a minute. And I was like, okay, let's give it I sat up. I put my laptop down a little bit and then stopped writing. And within 5 minutes of game action, it was an 18-point game. 50-49.
There we go.
And topping it off, Wilcher, beside the one I mentioned earlier, he hits that shot where he's coming off a screen or something. It was kind of Reggie Miller like, where he's just got a dude all over him, and he's just like, I'm letting it go. And it's nothing but net. And it's 50-49. And it got to that point where then you're, like, so invested in this comeback. You're like, they gotta win this, or else it's gonna really hurt everybody so much here, because there's been so much emotion put into it. And that's where it got a little dicey then, when Wisconsin goes back up 7, and then it's 65-59 at the under 4 timeout. The game had a little bit of everything, really.
Yeah, it was wild, because it felt like there was two just Wisconsin surges in that game, and they were spurred by, you know, two different individuals who sort of just carried them in those stretches. And then the rest of the game, they really struggled. Like, it was, I don't know if it was just great Nebraska defense. I don't know that it was Wisconsin missing wide open looks, but I felt like Nebraska did a good job of challenging them you know, outside of those two stretches for almost everything they wanted. Like, you could see, I felt like Chucky would get the ball. Chucky Hepburn, the former Bell West point guard who's at Wisconsin now, would get the ball. And you could see that he wanted to do something with it. And he just has either Hoiberg draped over him or Bryce Williams on him at times. And they just, like, they didn't give him a lot of space. And so he couldn't even really, I think he had one of his kind of step back that he hit. He like couldn't clear out enough with his arm. Like, they did a really nice job outside of against AJ Storr. And then I don't remember who the other guy was. I think it was number 11.
Max Klesmet.
Yeah. And he was feeling it in that stretch. And that was the only reason that game got to overtime for Wisconsin's perspective, because everybody else was gassed. And so for Nebraska to kind of weather both of those and just keep chopping wood, it just goes back to something we've talked about, where their mentality, this is what separates them from previous Nebraska basketball teams. They have way more mental toughness than what we are used to seeing on the basketball court. And it's wild, because at times you're like, how is this the same team that let it go against Minnesota, or sort of felt like they quit during that Creighton game, or no-showed against Maryland? And yet at home, they're like Herculean. It's incredible. It really is.
Yeah. They feed off the crowd, and the crowd feeds off them. And it's a pretty lethal combination. I mean, Wisconsin, back to them real quick. AJ Storr, 28 points. I mean, he's maybe first team all conference player. He had 28 against Michigan State, you know, in the previous game, I believe. And Klesmet, then you mentioned him. He goes on that run. He had 2 points, Schaefer, prior to that run. Then he can't miss. And he has 11 in a row that he scores for Wisconsin to give him that 65-59 lead. But the guy then who was just unbelievably clutch was Rink Mast. And when I actually went back through the highlights and looked at some of what he did, and it was incredible. When it was 63-56 Wisconsin, he hits a shot. He was actually on the state logo, like the beginning of the state tracings.
Yeah.
Like he was there. So it's not like exaggeration. You know, you hear the announcer from the logo. He was actually like within the state boundaries. He had crossed over. He could get a runza.
What part of the state? Like, I forget how it lays. I always forget which direction it lays out. Do we know what town or what county he would have been standing in?
I should have thought about that. I'm trying to think how the floor is. I don't want to talk about it. I'm going to mess it up.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm going to say something that's going to show that I've been an Omaha and Lincoln boy my whole life. So I just need to steer clear of it.
Understandable.
So I respect all the other parts of the state, though. I love the state. we hope people out west are listening. So that made it 63-59. And then 65-62, they had done it defensively to give them this opportunity, because Wisconsin went 3 minutes from like the 3:30-ish mark to 30 seconds, 20 seconds without scoring. So Nebraska kept getting stops to kind of keep them in it with a shot. And then Rink hit that step back three, and that was tough. I mean, he had a guy right on him. That's what he talked about in the post game. He's like, I was going to do something, and I let it go. And it was like out of body is how he explained it. And it was a pure shot. So that's what gets him to overtime. And then he has the hook right away that gives him the lead. Then he has the feed to Juwan Gary for the and one, which was beautiful move by Gary too. And I think Gary did some nice things late, which I think is really going to help him going forward. Played 33 minutes, by the way. And then Mass hits that other hook when the shot clock was running down to make it 76-72. And that's like five plays that were just like big time plays that, I don't know, we're just not used to seeing. From, I always hate to say that, because we have seen some good Husker teams with guys who were clutch, like Petaway and Shields and stuff. So it's existed here, but it's just not as routine to us. And so it's always exciting when someone just like meets that moment. And I thought Bryce Williams was pretty good late too. Like, we can't take for granted, we've talked about this team's free throw shooting. He hits a 1-1 when it's tied in regulation. Ended up hitting 6 of 6, counting overtime down the stretch to melt the game away. That's also something we didn't used to always see. So that's a nice component.
Well, and they actually struggled early in the game at the free throw line. Like, you know, you get into overtime, you're like, oh man, if you didn't go 12 and 19 here, you know, if you're 13 of 19, this game is over. Yeah, that's how my brain always works. Mm-hmm. And I thought Bryce Williams had another sort of quiet stat filling game where then in overtime, you sort of see like he's able to make those free throws. I liked this. I knew exactly what they were going to do on that final look. He was going to get to the corner of the free throw line and then try to take a jumper there. And it felt like he didn't get enough steps in. And so the shot was just a little bit short at the end of regulation. I like that he's comfortable being that guy in that situation. You and I have talked about that multiple times, but it's all the other stuff he kind of does right now. Like he had 9 rebounds last night. He almost had a double double. He had multiple assists. I think he had a couple steals. He was getting his hands on some passes. He had some dumb turnovers and some dumb moments early in the game. But it's just like they do a really nice job of playing with each other. They do a nice job of picking up the guys who aren't playing well. I mean, think about how often this year, I mean, they won games without Juwan Gary. Rink Mast really struggled in the Northwestern game, and they were able to win in spite of it. You don't always get the best version of C.J. Wilcher or Bryce Williams or Sam Hoiberg, and currently right now, Keisei Tominaga. And they're able to kind of have enough depth, enough guys step up at the right times. You know, I think some of the secret sauce of this team is that they're so deep that if it's an off night for somebody, another player is going to be able to step into the role and help out. I mean, Josiah Alec basically carried them in that first half against Northwestern. And I think that's a big part of why we're even having the conversation that they're in position to potentially play in meaningful basketball in March for the first time in a while.
Yeah. Speaking of Alec, one of the plays of the game and where it was almost as loud as anything aside from a couple Wilcher bombs.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
They almost stole it prior, like Hoiberg almost got a steal right before it. Yep. Sam Hoiberg is just a defensive pest. I mean, like a lot of pride in it. And he's just such like a ball hawk, you know, like he finds his way to the ball as the smallest guy on the court. But anyway, he almost steals it. And then Alec gets it then. Steps in front of the pass, but it's kind of going to the sideline. Josiah Alec seems like he's been a kid since he was like 3 years old who loves to scrape his knees and like go for it. So it's no shock that he puts in the effort diving on the floor, but flips it back into Sam Hoiberg, and the place is just going nuts already. And then it kind of just develops where you see it in slow motion. Something's going to happen with Sam on the other end. Like it's just going to transition into something really fun. And Sam does a sort of video game like spin type thing that just messed with the defender's head, ends up getting right to the bucket for a layup to cut it to 4. And that play was almost the most entertaining, like just like joyous play in the building of the entire game for some reason. Yeah. It had a lot going on.
There was on that spin move, the guy behind me just yells, "He spun on him." Like, yeah. Like, I don't know. It's like, someone witnessed a running back just spinning out of a tackle kind of thing. It was great. Yeah. There was multiple times where Nebraska's sort of all out hustle. They got some of those loose balls and they saved possessions or they saved rebounds by, you know, there's a couple times where Josiah Alec is basically jumping out of bounds with the ball and whipping a pass to someone. They had a really nice possession in the first half where they saved an offensive rebound, worked it around with outstanding passes. It gets to the Keisei Tominaga wide open in the wing for that 3, and he just wasn't able to make it. And you're like, man, is this what it's going to be tonight? Because there was no question, even when they were struggling early, like the effort was there. Like that was never in doubt at any point in that game. And an all out, you know, fantastic night at Pinnacle Bank Arena.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I posted this on Twitter this morning. I'm curious your thoughts. Is it just as simple as the way the game flow works and the compactness of an arena that Pinnacle Bank Arena is like turbocharged, where Memorial Stadium doesn't always have that kind of feel? It can. Michigan 2021, Miami 2014. The end of Michigan State 2015, really good games, really big situations, yes. But sometimes, I just look at Pinnacle Bank Arena, and it's just like it's unquestionably the best venue for Nebraska sports right now. And maybe the people at the Bob Devaney Sports Center would have a lot to say about that with volleyball.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly.
But
at least in terms of a large crowd, because I think volleyball is capped around 2,000. Is that what they're at?
No, they're up there now. They're
is it?
Yeah, they're more like in that 8,000 range.
Well, I didn't know they had that many for volleyball games.
I thought they did, but either way, that's an unbelievable setting when it's like big time. And yeah. This was just as far as like comparing it to other college basketball settings, it's up there when it's a big time opponent and Nebraska's playing well. And I wouldn't back off that comment from anybody, because if they stepped in the arena, they'd see that that's the case. I mean, I've always said when Nebraska's had lean years, it's amazing that like 7,000 or 8,000 people would show up to those games, even if it's half full, because at most places that would be 2,500 people, you know? And so this is a fan base that is so like just hungry for like success and a team that like gives them a lot of pride. And you know, I think the lean years in football have probably contributed to that. To your question though, I think it is, because it's like it's a compact arena, you play more games, so you're going to get like a few ranked teams per year in there, and you're going to get a couple close games where it's just tense and it's going to be settled by 4 points or less or a bad call, and I think that adds to it. But there's no doubt that the fans impact that team in such a way that Bryce Williams, like after the game, had a quote, and I'm paraphrasing him, but it's basically like, you don't want to disappoint them. Like you want to give them something. And so, I think that means a lot to those guys, to like, they know that how much everyone cares in the arena and wants it and how badly it matters to them. And that makes them I mean, not that they don't want it to begin with, but that just adds a little something to that. And it really can sometimes make the difference. And I thought Wisconsin got a little rattled by it, frankly. They threw the ball away a couple times because the floor was shaking, basically. Yep. Like, you know, and they had one possession when things were starting to unravel for them. They didn't get a pass off. They just threw it to the baseline and no one was there. And you're like, they're coming undone a little bit by it. And I think Greg Gard thought that after the game.
I think that came at the moment because I think that led to a media timeout. And it was right as after – was it right after the Rink Mass tied it up with a three-pointer? Or was it – I can't remember the exact sequence, but there was a couple times that they were trying to fly down on offense. I think they were trying to get past Nebraska in a quick manner. And they would throw some of these passes, and there was just no one home. And you, like you said, you could just hear the surge in the crowd. It's like they felt like they were on defense there too, and helped force that turnover. And I don't know what it looked like where you were at in the media section, but in over where I was, I mean, I don't think I sat for the last hour of that game. Like once it got inside of the sort of 10 points there in the final 8 minutes or so, maybe 10 minutes, you know, everyone was basically just full standing kind of on the, and part of it, the end that I'm in was, you know, Nebraska's playing defense. And so you feel like you can affect the game that way. And it just seemed like people really picked it up in the second half. And then it felt like the whole building just was standing throughout overtime. All just like a great environment. Like absolutely.
I had a guy, I sit right next to the aisle. I'm on the end of the media section. So people are always coming and going, fans right next to me. So there's a guy in a regular seat that's like, you know, just across the aisle, 5 feet from me. He was like in a defensive posture. Like he was down in like a defensive stance when Nebraska was like playing D. Like he was that's the, like how people were into it. And you know what? The best part of these wins over Wisconsin and Purdue, it's only the sixth time in program history they've beaten two top 10 teams in the same season. First time since 2013-14. But what I'd also say about Wisconsin, I don't say it with as much confidence as I do about Purdue. I think Purdue is going to be like legit there to the end, like in March. And I think Wisconsin also could make a really good run. And I know they didn't, Nebraska, it got the best of them last night, but even the way it was one guy, but Klesmet answered the bell after Nebraska tied it at 52. That's a sign of like the quality of team you're playing with, where they did, you know, some teams in that setting, when it's going like that, it would have been a 10-point loss in regulation the way it happened, but they regathered, a guy got hot and they were going to take the game back. And just the way AJ stores, that's a good team. So, I mean, these aren't like top 10 teams that I think are just in the AP rankings 1 week and they're not going to be anything a month from now. They're really quality squads that Nebraska beat in Lincoln. And hopefully that's what tips the scale when the decision makers decide who's on the brackets.
Yeah. Now that Nebraska has this win against Wisconsin, they go on the road. You got Illinois, you have Northwestern. Those are your next two. And then I believe you return at home next Saturday for Penn State. I think that's what the next three games look like.
Might be Michigan.
Okay. Well, there's a team in there that they play and they wear blue. So I feel okay about at least saying that. Do you think they have a better than 20% chance in either of these road games?
Northwestern, I do. I think it's going to be really tough, though. Illinois, yeah. I'll be honest. I'm not anticipating much for that one.
We're in lockstep on that. I think if they were to get one of these two, it would be Northwestern. I think they match up okay with Northwestern. I think having Juwan Gary will be a benefit for them. They didn't people forget they didn't have him against Northwestern when they beat him at home. But I'm with you. Illinois is difficult. Sorry to jump in there.
No, this is the second time they've won one of these games. So much emotion against the top 10. And then it's three days later, it's another game. What was advantageous for them going into Wisconsin, For those who are tracking like what Hoiberg said prior to the game, they actually had three full prep days where they could get on the floor. They can't, that doesn't usually happen in season. Like, cause you have to take days off. There's like certain rules you have to abide by. And so Nebraska was out there three times with actual practices before Wisconsin, not really licking their wounds from what happened at Maryland, but like, I think just pissed off like at how they represented themselves and what the narrative is about them on the road. And so they're basically like, we're playing ball. We're not going to pay attention to the load management stuff, all this. We're going to go out there and we're going to get after it. And we're not going to let other teams in this league call us soft or think they have something on us from these other games. And we're going to turn the script on that. And so I think they had that determination from the start last night, even though it didn't go well. Now, can they get that same energy back after everyone's going to pat them on the back today and all over social media, it's going to be talking about it still. Well, you're trying to get ready for a team that's top 15 in the country. It's going to be very difficult. But I think if there is a thing to fuel them, it's got to be like, if you went to Illinois and you pulled that sucker off, I mean, you balled out and you took it, you know, down to the wire and got something there. That's one that where you're just like suddenly hanging out at the table of like, you're more in that 7-8 seed or, you know, like you're in, if you keep your head above water, in the games you should. So that if they can adopt that mindset of just seeing like, you know what, let's do it again. Like, I know everybody's emotionally spent and the season takes a lot out of you, and a win like that, you want to celebrate, let's move on. Like, you know, if you can get your guys to actually believe in that, maybe they can do something. But Illinois is playing really well right now. I don't have a lot of high hopes for that. I said before this stretch started, I was worried they could be 5-8 in the league play before their last seven game stretch that I think they can get a lot done in. And I'm glad to be wrong on that. But if they could somehow get that 7-6 and beat Northwestern or somebody, man, that'd be huge.
I also kind of feel like once they get that first road win, it sort of thaws. Like, you're at the point where the conversation is so large that you have to think about it. And so if they are able to get, you know, a win against Northwestern or Illinois, it makes it that much easier the next time they go on the road because they've already kind of done it. Like, it's no, and I know they won against Kansas State, but it's just different in conference play. And so I think if they are able to do that, it's going to make those trips to Indiana and Assembly Hall or to Michigan at the end of the year, it's going to make those seem easier because you've kind of got the monkey off the back, so to speak. Mm-hmm.
And you erase like a stupid narrative that everybody hears, including I'm sure people on the committee, even though they act like they just see stuff on paper where, what if a team like went 0-10 on the road, but was so awesome at home and all this, and would that get you in? And it, even if you just get one or something, you take that off, the people aren't talking about that anymore. And then it's more of like, okay, they got a road win at Ohio State and Kansas State. Like, that's just how they look at it more, instead of in this this category of, oh, they were 0-10 in the Big Ten or 1-9. I don't think they would look at it as much like that if Nebraska could just get that first one out of the way and get people to shut up about it. But it's up to them to do that, of course.
Yeah. I think there's one more conversation we have to have right now before we depart on this unprompted Nebraska basketball podcast here. But Keisei Tominaga, last February at this time, you know, it hadn't quite happened yet. The Penn State game was on February 5th, and he went bananas, and that kind of kicked off like the month of Keisei. He's for about 3 weeks now has not really been the sort of player that you, I guess, have come to expect him to be. And I'm curious why you think there has been the struggles, and what if anything would give you confidence that he can kind of pull this back out?
Well, he's had three games where he's been in single digits. Before that, I know what you're saying. It wasn't like he was just like on, you know, it wasn't Keisei mania like it was last year for a month where it felt like he was like scoring 25, 30 every night. But he did have a run of like six or seven double figure games, and he had a couple high point totals in there. And he had that shot. Was it? It was against Northwestern.
Right? Yeah, he had 14, and he nailed that 3-pointer. He had
7 points late, and he hit that shot. And that's a fine game. But you're right. The last three have been a little rough, and I don't know that there's anything dramatic to say about it. It feels like last night. Shots were there, you know, it was just a couple of them swirled out. And for some reason, it was just an off night. And Hoiberg afterwards said, you know, he never has even days like that in the practice gym. Hardly just like hits like almost everything. So I think they still anticipate, as they should, that there's going to be a couple games here down the stretch where he's going to have like the game that like CJ Wilcher had last night, where he just goes off and it's needed. And I guess that's the beauty of this team and their possibilities, is that he could do that and they could still win. There's been other games where somebody else wasn't really up, you know, putting up a lot, and somebody unexpected came through. So they're kind of sharing the success a little bit. But it's going to be hard to keep Wilcher off the floor the way he's playing right now. This was not a one game thing. Wilcher is just, you know, he's getting around 50% from 3-point range, for the year. And he's just so on right now. You like expect it to go down every time he shoots it. And, I wasn't surprised, honestly, when he started hitting a few last night, cause it's just been something he's done consistently. Even at Maryland, he was the one guy who hit shots. So Wilcher right now is making a strong case for sixth man of the year for whatever publication or whoever wants to vote on something like that, because he's been everything to his team.
CJ Wilcher is 13 for his last 20 from behind the arc in the last three games. Like, that is a stretch right there. He's five straight games of double-digit point efforts. Biggest one, obviously, last night with the 7-for-10, 22-point night, but I mean, he has definitely brought the scoring off of the bench. It's kind of what allows Nebraska to do this, is they can kind of put that defense first lineup in with Alec Mask, Gary Hoiberg, you know, sometimes Wilcher, sometimes Williams is in there, and you can just allow him to be your, you know, he can hunt for his shot, and you appreciate it because he's willing to let it fly. He might be off balance, like you said, that one is just sort of falling away, just nails that three. You know, he used to feel like he had to be in rhythm, like everything had to line up pretty perfectly for him. And now the confidence is so big that like he's just letting it fly. Like it's so much fun to watch when a shooter is on like that. I mean, it was like KSA last year at times. You just knew when the ball was leaving his hands that Nebraska had a great chance to score.
Yeah. You know, the underrated part of that comeback, and this is goes to what you're talking about, is Wisconsin had some defensive possessions in crunch time that went exactly as they would have wanted it to. And Nebraska still ended up scoring. And I think of the case where CJ hit a couple of tough 2-pointers late. He hit one that tied it at 52. That was not an easy shot, sort of in the left corner for two. And then when Nebraska was down 65-60, they had to score on this possession, it felt like to me. And it was not going well. And Bryce Williams kind of regathered himself and ended up taking like an 18 footer.
Yeah. I wondered if it was Bryce on that, because I had Bryce in my head. It's kind of the top of the key.
Yeah.
Like, he is sort of a step back, and you're thinking, well, this is not the look you want, but someone's got to shoot it, and then he made it.
Yeah. Wisconsin, in a couple instances, key spots, forced Nebraska into what, especially like in our day and age of where everybody's into the metrics and you don't want to take 2-pointers, like just inside the 3-point range and all that. It's like the perfect shot if you're a defensive team. Like, okay, if you make it, you get 2 points, but we'll see if you make it. And Bryce knocked that shot down. They had like three or four of those type of plays that were tough 2-pointers. And I think those are so huge, like for a team, like lifting a team too, like, you know, where, you know, it was a rough offensive possession, but you still got away with it and you came up with points. And on that particular possession with Bryce and earlier with CJ, I thought those were both situations where, man, those are some tough shots that won't get talked about as much, but they kind of needed in those moments to get to where everybody wanted it to get to. Yeah.
Anything else you want to get to here in this podcast?
I don't think so. I'm prepared for Sunday. I don't want to end it on a downer. I'm not expecting anything amazing Sunday, but I'm also prepared for like people who go, and I get it, they're 0-5 on the road in the league. So if they go 0-6, it's easy to pick at it again. But I mean, let's just be real. They're going to play the number 14 team in the country that's playing really well.
Tough venue just to begin with, even when they're not this good.
Yeah, and Illinois is playing for seeding and all this stuff. I mean, it's going to be a tough game. And so I don't know that this particular game, I'm just telling people in advance, if it doesn't go as you want, is the one to be like where you'd crow about the negative part that you like to talk about. Like, I think there will be time for that perhaps, and maybe they'll go stun them at Illinois, but it's going to be a tough challenge. And that's why what happened Thursday night was so big, because it gives you one more quad one win. It gets you closer to being 6-7, 7-6 going to that stretch. Everything about it was huge. And it was also like one of the best environments for a Husker event I've been at. So that too.
Yeah, it just kind of, this season just sort of has almost that sort of fairy tale feel to it. But they got to do the work to keep that going. And, you know, it'll be interesting how it plays out against Illinois and what it looks like ultimately against Northwestern as well. But the good thing is, Brian, we'll be back here next week having the same similar conversation, but maybe, just maybe, it's a little bit different this time. You never know. You never think, you know, Wisconsin, what was it, 120-0 when winning by 16 or more until last night?
They were 120-0 since the turn of the century when leading by 15 plus at halftime, which I will admit is a stat like a lot of teams would have a pretty good record with if you're up 15 or more at halftime. Nonetheless, some people were calling in a question because they're saying, hey, I thought Nebraska was down 17 to them last year in PBA, which they were and won. And that's true, but it was an 11-point game at halftime and got to 17, which is actually more impressive that you came back from 17 somewhat into the second half. But
in a weird way, it's like they erased their Minnesota loss, in which the same scenario played out. They're on the road cruising to a victory, and then somehow end up fumbling that game away.
Minnesota's actually, they're kind of a tough matchup for Nebraska. I was talking about,
we'll super athletic.
Yeah. And they come to Lincoln down the stretch. That'll be a big one. So there's a lot of work to do still, but last night was sure fun.
All right. Well, we will check back in next week with the normally scheduled edition of the Husker 24/7 Hoopscast. Thanks for joining us on the Emergency Pod. Be sure to check out all the work Brian's doing covering this team at Husker247.com. Plenty of good coverage coming from the game. Plenty of great social media reaction that you can find on Husker247.com as well. For Brian Christofferson, I'm Mike Schaefer. We'll catch you next week.